Jimmy Buffett concert.
Most of the Eagles.
Just, yeah, it's enough of the
A Eagles. Significant number of the Eagles.
So is it like Journey with the Other Guy?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay,
because Glenn Frey passed away.
Right.
And it is the Eagles.
Legally, there are enough Eagles there that they can use them.
So they're legal Eagles, is what you're saying.
I'm comfortable referring.
They don't
to
have
them
to spell
the
them E E G L E S.
Yeah, no.
Hey, a couple of quick hits. First off, we haven't talked about this morning, but the evacuation order out of Channel 5, the evacuation order is remains in place following the blast and fire at the Superior refinery yesterday. Superior Police announced that the order did remain overnight following the explosion of the refinery. In a tweet, the department said the order would be reevaluated, and apparently it was still in place this morning. Superior Fire Department Chief said the explosion was reportedly a small tank explosion, and the product was believed to be crude or asphalt. This took place over in Wisconsin. Initially put out, but reignited after noon, and black smoke and occasional fireballs billowed up from the site for much of the afternoon. Yeah, this was dominating the news yesterday. It was a big deal.
Well, and you know, people did lose their lives. So this was, you know, if you've seen the video, it is not in any way, shape, or form a small event. And I guess I'll be able to see it. I'll be up there next week telling some jokes in Superior. But I'll probably try to drive by as close as you can and kind of see what the carnage is.
Yeah, the mayor in Superior said throughout this emergency, they had a number of agencies respond with professionalism, downright courage. And while the big fire that burned all day might have been out, that second fire was burning into the night last night. It's liquid coming from a nearby tank. Officials labeled the fire a 2 on the scale of 10. The valve on the tank was damaged during the initial explosion, so it could not be shut off. So it had to go and burn itself out. The blast and blaze meant thousands of people spent much of last night out of their homes, and public evacuation was issued for 10 miles south of the refinery and 3 miles east and west, 1 mile north of the refinery. I guess a lot of it had to do with the prevailing winds.
Yeah, the winds, yeah.
Yeah, that were going on. So that was a big news yesterday. Just a real, very devastating. Another note, something else making headlines this morning, Tom Brokaw. Accused of groping and trying to force kisses on a former NBC anchor, Linda Vester. This was a long time ago, right?
Yeah,
when this apparently took place, Vester said that Brokaw tried to force a kiss on, tried to force her to kiss him on 2 separate occasions, groped her in an NBC conference room, and showed up at her hotel uninvited.
Now he said, "No, he's not.
Variety.
He's not even really saying this was a misunderstanding. He is saying these things didn't happen."
Yeah, yeah. It's NBC did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Brokaw said, "I met with Linda Vester on 2 occasions, both at her request, 23 years ago, because she wanted advice with respect to her career in NBC. The meetings were brief, cordial, and appropriate, despite the allegations. I made no romantic overtones towards her at the time." Vester, who was 28 at the time of the supposed encounter, says she didn't report Brokaw to police or NBC's human resources because she was scared it would end her career.
And not to her credit, it's not the right word, but that was a very different time when I'm sure there, you know, if these things did happen, that she probably did feel as though something significant would have happened to her career if she would have come forward with it. So I mean, it's a little bit understandable why someone would come out now, as opposed to then.
Well, it's very similar to, you know, in Sam's 5 with Bill Cosby. The jury ruled the comedian sexually assaulted the individual guilty on all counts of sexual assault. And we mentioned earlier this morning, I'd read an article talking about how that situation with Bill Cosby, a lot of the reason why the allegations didn't come out back then was because of that character, Cliff Huxtable, on The Cosby Show. And so nobody, again, a different time, but then, and we talked about how we watched that show and the impact it had on us as kids, that character of Cliff Huxtable, you just couldn't fathom that individual who did that character would be capable of doing.
And as I was driving in, I was thinking that, like, you know, someone like Sam can't fully understand what a big deal Bill Cosby has been at multiple different points of his career.
Late 60s.
You know, there was the TV, and then, you know, it was I Spy, right?
Yeah,
there was I Spy.
Was a movie star for a while.
And then, Bill Cosby himself, the comedy album, is iconic.
Yeah.
It is amazingly funny. Mm-hmm. And then...
Still.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of comedy doesn't hold up over generations.
Yeah.
That set still holds up.
Yeah, and then, you know, throw the Cosby Show on top of that, which was number one. I think it was finally knocked out of the number one spot by The Simpsons.
Right.
I mean, that's what it took to get him out of that spot.
That was the show of the 80s.
Yep.
Like you talk about those shows that everybody sat down and watched at the same time and talked about at work and talked about at school the next day. That was one of those shows where if you didn't watch it, you were left out of social interactions.
Bill Cosby was also very involved in race relations. I can remember in school, there was a video that we watched, which he, like, very, with no comedy or pandering involved, was talking about, you know, things that, you know, how the white man has stolen certain things from their history. And then later on, he kind of, like, flipped around a little bit and was very critical of hip-hop culture. So he was just somebody who was just, his influence was everywhere at one point in time. Yeah.
We touched upon this yesterday, Drew, when it was the when we were talking about the withdrawal of the VA pick with the allegations that he had. You know, you look at Cosby, you look at that situation, social media in and of itself, and all the controversy around Facebook and looking at your personal data, and, you know, everything kind of lives online forever. Was it Joy Reid? Was that the other one?
Yeah.
Play where she tried to claim that somebody had hacked her account, but most experts are going, yeah, you go back into the archives, that's just not the case.
Yeah, there are homophobic comments on her.
Yeah, yeah. The question that I have is, Do you think we're going through a change right now where in society that, and we'll just for the sake of this discussion coming from three white men, do you think that behavior is going to change? Do you think that the generations growing up, my children, mm-hmm. you know, your son, do you think that because of all these different factors that it's going to have a significant impact on the way that individuals behave as they get into adulthood and how they treat one another?
Yes, I do, because the thing that's different about the generation, you know, our kids, like that generation, is they are exposed and digesting so much more of the news than I think any previous generation did. And that's because of social media. That's because of how digitally connected they are. They're aware of things on a political level that, you know, people of our generation probably never paid attention to nor cared about. It just wasn't interesting. They're exposed to them and they're digesting this information. So yeah, I do think that it's going to have an impact, and probably, you know, there'll be some good and some bad, but I'm going to say probably more of a positive impact in the way people interact and treat one another.
Yeah, I think who has the power has changed. And yeah. I think it's a lot more egalitarian. I think that no longer, you know, can a John F. Kennedy or a Bill Clinton or really anyone, you know, rely on the media to protect them anymore, because there are so many different diverse media sources that are out there.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to run with this. Somebody is going to try to shed some sunshine on it. And the way that you combat it is you call it fake news and you deny that it happened, like Joy Reid is trying to do.
Right.
But I think that it is something that if it does not change your behavior, you are walking a very dangerous line.
Right. You either have the lessons being learned because of the examples that you see of these individuals being held accountable for their actions, and so you're learning that this behavior, if you're unfortunately not already learning it from your parents, if we're talking about kids that are still at home, if you're not learning this from your parents, you're certainly seeing it playing out in the media that, okay, this behavior is not tolerated. And to what you said, for those individuals who potentially there are no helping, that may have, you know, are more inclined to act inappropriately, the fact that you now have almost no way not to get caught or be called out will put them in a position as well to behave differently. The other facet to this, and then we can move over to some of the local issues, but the other facet is going back to the Cosby Show is, the thing that I'm curious about is what ends up being, like, for my kids, 11 and 15, and no, I think to a certain extent, Sam, because she's you've grown up in this different era as well. What are going to be those big influencers on them? Because at the time of the Cosby Show, we mentioned this earlier, Sam, you know, you didn't have cable television, you didn't have the internet. These shows were must-watch TV every single week, and had a lot of great values in them. I mean, the Huxtable family was one that you looked at that family dynamic, and there was a lot of lessons that as a kid I learned. I'm very curious to know, like, what type of social influencers will have an effect on the current younger generations, because there's so many options out there available for you to go and watch and listen to things. It's not like it was so singular like it was when we were younger.
Oh, I thought were you asking Sam or asking me?
Anybody was a judge.
No. Because if you look at what the Cosby Show was, it was a nuclear family that had strong parents that were in control. And there's not a lot of sitcoms and other shows where the kids kind of aren't the sassy kids who get to do what they want, and the dad's an idiot and the mom's a this or that.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way TV has gone. But also it shows how you really gotta parent your own kids. Let's not rely on Cliff Huxtable to give our give our kids good lessons anymore.
Right? Yeah.
Because the Cliff Huxtable of today, whoever that might be, isn't giving those same lessons, and we should not be abdicating our responsibilities.
Were there any shows when you were younger, Sam, that you just couldn't miss, or anything? I guess more specifically, ones that you watched with the family. Together as a family?
When I was growing up that I watched as a family that were kind of like centered on family.
Just in general. I mean, because these were, you know, it used to be the must-see TV. That was the big...
The Cosby Show was?
Just in general, that was kind of the mindset of the television watching. Okay. It was must-see TV, and what that meant was like the whole family would sit around and watch. These weren't shows where you'd have to split up into different rooms based off of the content.
Probably the only one that I can think of was The Simpsons. My family always watched The Simpsons together. But other than that, I can't really think of anything specific.
Yeah.
And it's different, too, because then it was must-see TV because you had to wait 6 months before that was going to be shown again.
Right. Yeah.
Where now I can watch it live. My kid can watch it on his phone. My other kid can watch it on an iPad. My wife can watch it, on the computer.
Yep.
And we're watching the same show. We'll talk about it, but it might be in a week.
I know. That drives me nuts. There's only like two shows that our entire family, my wife, my son, my daughter's since moved out, but there are only two shows that we all watch, right? And I always want to watch them together. And I want that experience of all of us sitting in a room being able to talk about it right now. My son, though, he's not having any of it. He's like, no, you guys go ahead. I'll binge a few episodes this weekend and get caught up. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I want that experience of watching shows together. We never get that anymore.
I think that, I mean, Brian, you made a really good point because you can just kind of watch these shows anytime. You don't have to like tune in at this specific time, this specific day of the week, because that's the only time that you can watch it.
Yeah.
That's like my mom and I enjoy and appreciate a lot of the same shows, but like she stays up super late at night and watches them, and then I'll kind of like watch them when I have free time, which if that happens is during the midday. So we never really watch them together. But I think that that's something we definitely could be enjoying together if we had no other choice but to watch it at that specific time.
We'd started working through The Office again, and Logan, my 15-year-old, started watching it with us, and it was really cool. You know, at night when we sit down and we have dinner, we sit down and watch a couple episodes of The Office. But to what Drew was saying, it's the same thing. You know, it's just other things pull them away. It's like, oh, I want to go play World of Tanks, or oh, I want to go work on my remote control airplane. And so, like, and I'm like Drew, I love the experience of sitting there with my son and watching this really funny show and that time together, but there's just so many other things to draw their attention, and I can't begrudge him for it, you know?
I mean, we watch shows, like, parts of our family together. Like, my wife and I watch crime shows together. My wife and I will watch, like, cooking shows with my daughter. We will watch, my 13-year-old is in the same place, where he's going through The Office. He's learning about, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a lot of these old Simpsons and stuff. We watch those together. But, like, are there stuff that all of us watch together? Like, I used to do with my parents, we'd watch Dallas religiously, and, it was something that we would talk about all week, which is kind of how J.R. Ewing got to be my spirit animal.
I used to have several VHS tapes just loaded with Cosby shows.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one thing. Before DVRs, we would tape every episode on a VHS, and we would never tape over them. You know, we just had it for the longest time.
Yeah, let's remember, Bill Cosby kicked Lisa Bonet off that show because she was in a movie that showed nudity.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
651-989-5855. Let's go to Dan calling from Maple Grove. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Yeah, one of the things that I didn't hear you mention, that something I grew up with about Bill Cosby, was the Fat Albert Show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That taught a lot of life lessons for kids about race relations and how to work with other people. And it was a great, great show and a great influence on a lot of people.
Yeah, they used to show that in my school. That was one of the shows that they would put on sort of your lighter days, because it was full of good lessons.
Drew, you're like school in the summertime.
No class.
It's so I hate to bring it down on this note, but it's so tragic to see this happen too. Because you look at a guy like Bill Cosby for a second, and you kind of go, and like he said, and you look at his stand up, you look at that show, the quality of programming, you know, booting Lisa Bonet off, apparently having some standards there, but look at what he's now been, you know, found guilty of.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, how is that possible? But then the first thing that pops into my mind, and I go, Robin Williams, and not Robin Williams that he was accused of doing anything wrong, but just here, that's another individual where you go, he's got to be, how happy a man must that be? He brings so much joy to people's lives, and then, you know, we all know what happened to him. You kind of go, man.
Robin Williams had demons that manifested itself in that way, fortunately not in a way that caused anybody else harm. Bill Cosby clearly has demons that unfortunately have hurt a lot of people, and I'm glad that there are consequences for that.
Well, and it also exposes that someone who doesn't live in the real world, and nobody who's an actor, a musician, any of these things, they don't live in the same world that we do, so we can't expect them to be able to teach us about the real world. So look to your family, not to celebrities.
Coming up, gun control bills are dead in the Minnesota Capitol again, according to the Pioneer Press. We'll get into that. Also, the Dowd said that he was misunderstood, still opposes gun control. We'll give you some details. First off, though,
we do want to preview this week's parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing content from the show this week, stories that we've talked about. After 8:30, the first caller at 651-989-5855 that correctly identifies the 5 stories is going to win a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles. This is your preview of this week's parody song contest.
Looks like we made it. Another doomsday's come and gone. A camera in the bathroom in Starbucks means if you went in there, then you were seen doing whatever the hell that you went in there for. When you relieved yourself, someone was peeking. What is leafy and green and gives you food poisoning? Romaine. You've got your high tech, your Samsung S9. Low tech is for me, so I've got a flip phone. I've got a flip phone. California sucks, that's why you see.
Comma, comma down.
Plans to split it up when there are 3.
Comma, comma down.
Despite those that want to see it through, breaking up is hard to do.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword money to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's money to 200-200.
Hey, it's Drew here for my friends over at the Good Feet Store. Look, I've been dealing with foot pain for a long time now. Went on vacation over
the regulations at some point in time, just because I want to bring up the square slices versus triangle slices of pizza. There's some issues there that need to be talked about.
There's not enough time
That's a fun one, though.
You know, we need a full hour to really hash through that one.
You think Aaron May Quaid is filled with regret today for not sitting more than 24 hours after the two?
Not even remotely.
The deaths of 2 gun control measures, as the Pioneer Press put it, were cemented Thursday at the Minnesota Capitol without any actual votes on the ideas themselves. I'm adding in the inflection.
Well, and here's something that I don't know that it's been reported at all, but as someone who was at the Capitol while this was going on, what was the buzz in the halls was that the Democrats were going to get up and try to suspend the rules on the House floor in order to bring up those bills. That did not happen. And then Everytown USA, who's the, you know, the anti-gun group, they went hard against House Minority Leader Melissa Hortman on social media, on Facebook and whatnot. So that was, so it kind of almost turned out to be a net negative for the House DFL.
The blow, according to the Pioneer Press, for gun control advocates shouldn't come as a huge surprise, because Republicans control both chambers and the prospects of stricter gun laws were always slim. Meanwhile, yeah. Democrats still push hard.
Bias is dripping out of this article.
Yeah.
Just dripping out of this article.
You get over to the one part of this whole thing that kind of caused some controversy. It's in the Pioneer Press article. There's also one from the Foreign News Service here. And that was Minnesota House Speaker Kurt Dowd. And some of the, what he says were obviously misunderstandings of the press conference. He said, it's my fault too, because I wasn't clear as I should have been. So this is what apparently he said. A reporter asked Dowd, and this comes from Foreign News Service, a reporter asked Dowd if there would be any more gun legislation hearings this year. The speaker replied, you know, I think there probably will. I know there are ongoing conversations kind of behind the scenes between members who are trying to work to find consensus on solutions that will really help reduce putting guns in the hands of potentially dangerous criminals. I think we all share that goal. I know those conversations are happening. I expect, or I hope, that those conversations can be fruitful and that we can find some legislation that can get support of the legislature. On Thursday, he said that he did not mean gun control legislation will advance. So, was he misunderstood? Was that an accurate statement? Was there reading into it? Because for me, that seems pretty clear based off of the question that he was asked.
Well, he was asked about gun legislation, okay? I think he should have probably assumed that by gun legislation, especially in the context of being in the middle of Aaron Maquaid's 24-hour sit-in, that they meant gun control legislation. So when he responded that he was hopeful and optimistic, I think everybody who read Brian Baxt's version, and that's how it came out. It was Brian Baxt tweeted it out, that Speaker Dowd says he is hopeful and optimistic that there are talks behind the scenes. I'm paraphrasing the tweet, that there are talks behind the scenes on gun legislation, and he's hopeful and optimistic that something will get done. I think, you know, everybody who read that immediately went, you know, if depending on which side you're on, went, oh no. You know, gun control measures are being happening by the sea.
Or woohoo.
Speaker, and that's how it got reported in all of the press. Speaker Dowd opens the door to gun control.
Life on gun control measures.
You know,
I mean, I actually had not heard that statement in its entirety.
Mm-hmm.
As you read it, I came away thinking absolutely nothing wrong with his statement. That everybody who is an elected official owes it to their constituents to always be open to potential areas of consensus. When he says something that can pass the legislature, that is not saying I'm going to force them to do something they don't want to do. It's like, can we find something that we all agree on that will make everyone safer?
Let me put it this way, and I won't speak for Drew. I'll just speak for me on this. I don't have any. I'm with you. I don't have any problem with what he said. But if that's the case, then I almost feel like he should have clarified it as such and not said it was a misunderstanding. Because yesterday he says, I think there was confusion about, I think maybe we were talking about two different things. I think this was an honest misunderstanding in the questions. I'm with you. I don't necessarily have a problem with what he said, in which case I don't think he needed to say there was any confusion about it. I mean, the reality of the situation is the bills are dead. They're not going anywhere. So it's kind of a moot point right now. But it seems to me like it's almost like he's trying to pull back because other people misinterpreted something that he said that was actually legitimate.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Almost like he didn't need to push back nearly as hard as what he did.
Except that, you know, if you're the Republican Speaker of the House and someone is rightly or wrongly accusing you of saying there are gun control things that behind the scenes I'm hoping happen, I think a strong pushback is appropriate, because there's such a big difference between gun control and, you know, what you know, could be, you know, something that is something less than that. But even then, I'm ascribing a certain definition to gun control that is negative.
And
that's part of the problem, because it's like saying, hey, 90%, you know, this is what the people, you know, Aaron McQuaid and other people would say. They'd say 90% of the people, you know, are in favor of background checks. Well, I bet you 89% of those people don't know what current law is and don't know what they're saying or what they're agreeing to.
We were responding to a question that was worded intentionally to get a yes.
And that is why, on largely on both sides, when anyone says reasonable, you know, gun control or reasonable this, reasonable that, no one's reasonable on this topic, because everybody has their own definitions of what's an assault rifle, what's a this, what's a that. And we're not talking about the same stuff most of the time.
Right.
And most of the time, people aren't working towards getting to yes. They're working on, if I say this, my side is going to cheer me, send me money, whatever it is. And that's what we're in.
That was all that was behind Aaron Makeway's little
absolutely
stunt. It was not, there was no misconception about the chances of getting some gun control legislation passed in this legislature with her stunt. It was all just attention, PR, donations, electability.
Well, and I think that's and I guess, again, backing up with this whole thing, because in the bigger picture, the comments are kind of irrelevant, except for the fact that it does continue to go and highlight, one, what we already know and just how contentious this whole gun issue is, but two, I almost get the impression, and I could be wrong, but for me, my perception is like they grabbed on to what Doubt said because they wanted to attach it somehow to what Aaron McQuaid was doing. Like she was actually even though nobody said it, like the way it came off to me was, well, you know, she's having some results because look at what the speaker is saying. And I'm so sick and tired of the media playing this. I know it's never going to change, but playing this game that they play and trying to craft these articles and trying to get more clicks and more readers.
Which is why I think, you know, as people in a position like Speaker Doubt and need to be a little more careful. I mean, I give him all the credit. He's very good on this issue from a Second Amendment proponent perspective. He's always been very solid. So that's why it was so surprising, and I think took so many people by surprise, and there was such a strong reaction to the initial coverage of his comments. You know, and he's got to know by now, and he's been in this game long enough, that the media is generally always going to spin things in a particular way. So you know, that's one of the problems with being a Republican leader, is you do have to be very careful in what you say to the media to avoid situations like this happening.
Yeah, Bax is a pretty straight shooter, which is
I agree.
Which is why you know the whole thing, you know, surprised me. But just knowing Kurt Doubt and what Kurt Doubt's views are on this topic, I never took it to its illogical conclusion that he was somehow going to majorly cave on guns. I just know that's not in his character. It's not in the caucus's interests. It just wasn't going to happen. So I guess maybe I just didn't see it as the big issue because of that.
The good news is those bills are dead.
Yeah.
And her sit-in accomplished nothing except for her getting some headlines and causing, you know, some confusing conversations.
John, at the Capitol, nothing's ever dead. It's dead on signy die.
But by the way, you're there. You're there. Yeah. You're like in the trenches and all that. Is there a perspective that you can give on nonsense like this? Because we're not there seeing it. And I know, it seems so ludicrous to me.
I've worked in talk radio in, what, four different states. I've covered legislature. I've never seen a stunt like this pulled, a sit-in protest in the House chambers for 24 hours. I mean, that's
not by a member.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, you'll have people, you know, laying all around in the halls, not by a member, but here's what's different. And, you know, some people might like this. So this is Aaron McQuaid is my state representative. She grew up with members of my wife's family. She's a podcast listener and all that. So I know her relatively well. There is a different type of legislator now where they are not necessarily legislators or representatives. They are activists. And An activist is always going to look at something like this, a sit-in, you know, a Twitter protest, a this or that, as something that raises awareness of an issue. There is a huge difference in raising awareness of your issue and doing the coalition building things you need to do to pass something that is on your issue.
Yeah, that's hard work.
And these days, how many things are getting passed? Not nearly as
right.
many, because there is no reaching across the aisle. And this is something that you know, pox on everyone's houses, because reaching across the aisle these days is seen as treason. And you can't legislate that way very effectively. You can make stands saying, we absolutely stopped this, or the other side absolutely stopped this. But we're not passing things, because it's about the soundbite. It's about 140 characters. It's about getting on news, and it's about issue attention, issue awareness, and frankly, you know, personal attention.
And maybe this is a question that can't be answered, because each elected official is different. But from your perspective of involvement, is an individual, is that activist sort of leadership, is that there from the get-go? Is that there from when they start running? Meaning, is it something that you really need to go and point to the voter who puts them into office? Or is it something where they're running on a more traditional sort of platform, and once they get into that position of power, they kind of turn more into the activist?
Well, I think you need to look at the background of each legislator. And what was their job before they were elected? And, you know, for a certain amount of people, their job was, you know, being an activist or working for a member of Congress or the Senate or, you know, Wellstone Action or whatever it might be. You know, and we have it on both sides where people are you know, we're having less farmers, lawyers, teachers, and we're having more people from kind of the political class. And yes, I'm part of that, but I'm not going to run for anything, I promise. I promise. So I think that is just something that is a little bit the way of the world, because you know, a common misconception is that being a state legislator is some kind of great cake job where you're just you know, sucking off the public dole. It's a terrible job for anybody with a real job and a real family, especially if you don't live in the Twin Cities metro area, because you're not able to go home and see your daughter's piano recital, your son's basketball game, or run your business or your farm or whatever it might be.
I don't think it bodes well that we are seeing the, you know, sort of this new wave of activist legislators or activist members of city councils, because to your point, you know, of that's not how you get things done in a legislative body. You do have to build coalitions, but that's also not how you win majorities. Mm-hmm. The other hard part is going out and convincing the electorate to elect more people who think like you, to elect more people who agree with you, to win those majorities, so that then you don't have to do these kind of stunts to get legislation that you want heard or voted on or passed.
But we've been talking all day, all show, about how the media has changed throughout our lives. It has changed. This is my 18th year at the Capitol. It has changed in that now, you know, once upon a time, if there would have been a stunt like this, you would have had to have the traditional media. You would have to, you would plan the stunt at a time that was right before the news cycle. And then you would hope that it got picked up by print and that it somehow got back to your hometown paper. Now, I mean, we can all make our own news because of the internet. So it just lends itself to more of these things because it's easier. If it doesn't work today, try it again next week. You know, you're not out of anything.
651-989-5855. If you want to call in and take part in the show, use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. We will get to this DFL versus RFL, this controversy over a confusingly similar logo. Plus, we have a world-famous parody song contest with a pretty great prize this morning.
Yeah, tickets to go see Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles coming to the Twin Cities. We've got a pair of tickets to the winner of this week's parody song contest. 5 song snippets, all referencing things we've covered on the show this week. Call in now, 651-989-5855, if you want to take a stab at this week's parody song contest.
It looks like we made it. Another doomsday's come and gone. A camera in the bathroom in Starbucks means if you went in there, then you
yourself, someone was peeking. What is leafy and green and gives you food poisoning? Romaine. You've got your high tech, oh, oh, oh. Your Samsung S9, oh, oh. Low tech is for me, so I've got a flip phone. I've got a flip phone. California sucks, that's why you see. Plans to split it up when there are three. Despite those that want to see it through, breaking up is hard to do.
Justice and Drew.
Real men of genius.
So good.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.
Hey, it's John Justice at Justice and Drew. I take Weider Artery Health. Now, I take Weider Artery Health, specialized dietary supplement, because it's created to ensure healthy blood flow and arterial flexibility.
Caller that correctly identifies the five stories being referenced in this week's Parody Song Contest. Going to win a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Eagles coming to the Twin Cities.
Looks like we made it. Another doomsday's come and gone. A camera in the bathroom in Starbucks means if you went in there, then you were seen doing whatever the hell that you went in there for. When you relieved yourself, someone was peeking. What is leafy and green and gives you food poisoning? Romaine. You've got your high. Samsung S9, oh, low tech is for me, so I've got a flip phone, I've got a flip phone. California sucks, that's why you see, plans to split it up when there are three, despite those that want to see it through, breaking up is hard to do.
Let's start with David calling from Maplewood. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic.
That's great. So number one is refers to the numerologist David Meade's doomsday prediction that the world would end on April 23rd, which came and went.
We're still here. Unless we're living in an alternate universe, but you're right. Okay.
Well, unless, John, of course, we're the non-believers. In which case,
true story. 5 months. That's right.
And but the upside of that is no winter. So
we have four other ones. So keep going. The,
Starbucks. A woman in Atlanta found a hidden camera in the Starbucks bathroom.
Okay.
Number three is the romaine lettuce from Yuma, Arizona, containing E. coli.
Okay. Very detailed.
Number four is the new trend of making a protest statement over against our high tech overlords by going to a flip phone from a smartphone.
Right. Okay.
And the final
show
one
ends at like 8:56.
Yeah. You don't get more tickets for longer explanation.
I really do appreciate how specific you are, though. Yeah.
Number five.
We're not helping.
No, you're not.
He's like, just let me get to it.
The push to break California up into three separate states and how difficult.
Oh, I feel like I just ran a marathon.
Sir, well done, David. You're going to go see Jimmy Buffett. You're going to go see the Eagles at the same venue on the same evening. These aren't two different nights altogether. So congratulations. I'm going to put you on hold, and a lovely, talented, radiant Samantha will get all of your relevant information. Well done.
It was very well done.
It's very detail-oriented. Yes. I appreciate that.
Good for him.
Hey, that shows you how closely people listen.
True story.
Right?
Yep. True story. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And with that,
we have a guest in studio. We have a lovely, friendly listener of this show. goes by the Twitter handle Sam's Radio Hubby. Why don't you hit that on button there and explain why you have that Twitter handle, Sam's Radio Hubby.
1 year ago tomorrow, Sam and I were radio married because I showed up with Dippin' Dots and took her up on her offer.
Yeah, for longtime listeners, you'll remember we were none of us had ever tried Dippin' Dots, and we were talking about it on the show, and Sam said on the air, "I will marry the first person who brings me Dippin' Dots." I believe she reiterated it on Twitter, even. And Craig, you met us through being our Uber driver to took us to a Donald Trump event over in the Sun Country Hangar during the campaign, yep. And you took her up on that offer. You showed up with Dippin' Dots.
Gentlemen, I hate to interrupt the festivities here, but I do need to disclose that I have been retained by Sam to be her radio divorce lawyer.
Well, that's okay. This is about run its course anyway. I do have to tell you, this has probably been the most wonderful marriage I've ever been involved in. Sam and I have only seen each other 4 times in the last year and a half, 2 years. There's been no physical contact whatsoever, and we've never had a fight.
That's great. It's great.
Wow.
Great marriage.
Yeah, my wife's gonna call you.
Better than like 85% of marriages.
Yeah, my wife's gonna call you and ask her how you can, you know, teach her a few things to have that be, you know, sort of our situation. So I'm wondering.
I do charge. in celebration of that, this is kind of like a belated wedding reception, and you two fellas are the only witnesses to our wedding, physically anyway. So I brought some thank you gifts for being the witnesses here.
Thank you very much for the gifts.
All right, what are these gifts that you brought here?
Well, John, I remember about 9 months ago you had a day off because you were ill, and your compatriots here in absentia raked you over the coals and accused you of having the sniffles and so forth. So
right.
Here's a Star Wars activity set.
Oh, excellent!
Crayons and stickers and
very
so forth.
Very cool. Straight to my heart. Ooh, activity pad too. This will go. Yeah, this will be
that
a nice
pad will
little,
come in handy.
Little time killer during during the parody song contest.
Could have used that a little earlier, right?
Thank you very much for that.
And, in addition, this is I wish last Friday you had not had mentioned that you were assembly challenged, but this is a laser cut stainless steel model of the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, my son will definitely be putting this together for me, because there's no way that I'd be able to accomplish it. Thank you very much, sir.
And even better, here is
holy cow.
Wow.
Han Solo in carbonite.
You're married to her, not me.
Right. No, this is just by way of thank you. Well, that is
he's a smart husband. He knows the you got to win over the dads.
Right. There you go.
You have to do well
That's
with the daughters.
True.
That is actually a business card dispenser. So.
Sweet.
Very cool. Radio dowry.
Yeah, there you go. And Drew, I've heard your exploits with Howard Root and so forth, and I know you're not doing too well on steak dinners, so I gave you a book here to help with your gambling problem.
Bets you can't lose. All right, I'll get some good use out of this.
And then I know you're quite a poker player, and sometimes you don't always get the best hand, but at least now you'll have solid gold in your hand when you're dealt a hand.
Solid gold.
Well, they're actually gold-plated cards.
Gold-plated playing cards. I feel like Donald
wow.
Trump.
Wow.
This is something
fancy.
Trump would have.
I like it. That's very classy.
And then every male in the species has to mark their territory somehow.
Oh, boy.
Just pull it out just the way it's facing there.
Oh, look at that. Poker player parking only. Very cool. Nice little sign to put up in my poker room.
I love that.
I think it needs to stay in studio. I think it needs to get a little bank space on the wall over there.
And then, Sam, that foamy looking thing.
Yeah, it was like, so I got handed this, like, I don't even know. It's like a black neoprene something. I don't even know.
All right, that's a shoulder wrap because of barn mucking and clavicular fractures
well,
and so
thank
forth.
You.
Don't feel like you need to go and do anything to yourself to have to wear it.
I'll put it on.
Precaution.
I'll put it on and then I'll just jump on some crazy wild animals.
Yeah, it probably works best directly on the skin, which is probably not a good idea right now. And then there's a small box there. Go ahead and open that.
I did. Yeah, so I cracked it open and this is so cute. So this is a mug that says, "I work hard so my horse can have a better life." That's actually very sweet. Thank you.
Well, it was very nice of you,
that's
sir.
Really
thank
nice.
You. Thank you very much
this.
For that.
I enjoy the show very much. I like you folks. Thank you.
Well, we like you back.
Especially
the
now.
The best
right?
listeners are the ones bearing gifts.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Craig.
You're very welcome. Well, if you'd ever like to be on a podcast. Wrong about everything works for French fries.
You could be Amy's radio hubby next.
Or Brian's. You know, Brian's very, you know, I might be down for that.
I get married all the time. Yeah.
In the few minutes we have left here, real quick, we've promoed this a few times, and if you go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page, it's a few blogs back, but you can see the photo of this. Rural Republican Minnesota House members wanted to make a point that Democrats often ignore farmers. So the Democratic Farmer Labor Party certainly did not ignore the group that is a little more than a week old. The DFL lawyer had to send a cease and desist letter to the Republican Farmer Labor Caucus telling the RFL to change its name and logo. I can see why. They look almost exactly the same.
There is, first of all, Mike Franklin and I used to work for that lawyer. But there's one pretty prominent difference in that the first letter is an R.
Yeah.
Right.
The word there is Republican.
Right.
Right.
And I think that the RFL would like to thank the DFL and their attorney for bringing tons and tons and tons of attention to the fact that the Democratic Party has been neglecting the F and the L, the farmers and the laborers
party.
Well, no, because remember, last time I was on, we talked about that transportation amendment that is very much supported by the trades, and they are not being necessarily catered to.
The only labor that the DFL pays attention to anymore are public sector unions, for the most part. I mean,
Education Minnesota, the teachers union.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think the intention was to get the attention in this?
Well, I mean, I think it was to get the attention, but really what it was, it was highlighting something that is real, that the Republicans are staking claim, and President Trump was part of this too.
Yeah.
They're staking claim to farmers who I think that they've had for a very long time, but very recently that they have been reaching out to the public sector, the private sector, trade unions. And, just because it's in your name doesn't mean that is one of your priorities. And the Republicans are saying that the working man is their priority.
Yeah, Representative Tim Miller said that while Republican lawmakers already have a group to discuss rural issues, the RFL was formed to communicate with the public. It already has a Facebook page as well. And early in its existence, it seems to be touching a nerve, Miller said earlier in the week after references to the group arose on the House floor and in the House Taxes Committee. So, yeah, it's pretty. You know what? Pretty clever. I'll give them that much. They got the attention that they wanted, I think.
Excellent job, guys. Excellent show. Thank you, Craig, for swinging by with some amazing gifts. Thank you, Brian McDaniel.
I'll be at the Mall of America House of Comedy next Tuesday, the 1st of May.
Go see him. He's got hilarious Star Wars jokes.
Oh, I'm still waiting to hear that one. Yeah. I got a good preview coming up.
Off air.
All right, cool.
Excellent job, John. Excellent job.
Good job, Drew.
Fantastic week. On a Monday show, we will have our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Linger, plus voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, will come in, and he'll give us a full Vikings draft recap. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Go watch Infinity War.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look at the roads being brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Looks like we're accident-free, but still some slow traffic. North 35, W from 42nd Street up into 94, eastbound 94, slowing Olson Memorial Highway into the Lowry Hill Tunnel. On 494 eastbound from France over towards 35W, find some company there. Westbound side, seeing a little slowing too from about Lindale Avenue over to 35W.